We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis. We're chatting here today with Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Mike Dodson. City Commission meets at 7 p.m. tonight at City Hall, wrapping up our discussion on the Warner Memorial Park Master Plan. So that will be discussed here. You'll consider approving it here tonight. I'm just curious, how much usage does this park get on an annual basis? Do you have that information?
So it gets, I would say that even though it is a community park, it's heavily used. It's got some great trail system. It's got the 9-hole disc golf course. So there are a lot of community members that obviously drive for those specific purposes. It's a great place to park and walk the trails. And so there's a lot to occur there. And then there's a lot of special events, especially related to cross-country type events, and so, or it's just a big open space area if you're wanting to have a scout gathering or whatever the case may be, just different groups. So I know we've had programs to watch the stars and just that kind of get your telescope out type of stuff. And so there are a lot of groups that do special use events. Cross-country is the big one, any kind of special event that group you can open the gate and go back. And we actually, the prairie is pretty resilient there. It's a natural prairie. And so unless things are really bad, we do parking on that for those special events to allow the larger crowd to gather. But the high school and K-State and others have used that for a lot of cross-country meets. So it gets quite a bit of use. But I would say the predominant daily use is just trail walking and lots of a great spot to be able to get out and get some exercise.
Well, it seemed to me with the loss of Country Stampede this past year, that would be an ideal location for a replacement festival at that park. I know you guys maybe can't make that decision here, but certainly would be an idea, I would think.
Yeah, one of the things that when Karen had the all of the meetings on this, you write down some criteria. So what kind of music do you want? How long should it last? And then things like parking, and when you look at the parking issues, those drive you in a certain direction unless you can have satellite parking with a bus route bringing you in, and that doesn't work for a lot of people. So then stage availability, having to put up and take down a stage every year. Those kind of things are a bit onerous. I mean, that's one of the things that drove the cost for the Stampede, too, out there, having to assemble and disassemble just about everything in the park. So as we went through the consideration process and looked at some of our existing parks, I mean, arguably, if you were on City Park, for example, you've got some parking assets that you could use and not have to go too far. But still, we've got a stage there, but the size, if you're looking for accommodating a very large crowd like you did at Country Stampede instead of spreading it out over several days, that just wouldn't fit very well. So those are some of the considerations that they're still working.
Yeah, I would just add that we've got really minimal infrastructure at Warner Park, that whether it's parking or just electrical support for power and that sort of thing, and where we have that kind of infrastructure at other more what I would call our regional parks like Seco and City and even Annenberg would be certainly better able to accommodate those large gatherings and the infrastructure for a stage and that sort of thing and probably would be better there. But I think other types of special events that might fit in more with the natural nature of the park would be potential possibilities there for sure.
All right. Just, interesting there. I don't know that I've actually been out to that park. I'll have to go take a look at it.
You need
at some
to do
point.
That. Yeah. Absolutely.
Item C here on the City Commission meeting tonight is an overview of the Manhattan Rental Housing Forum, which was held on October 27th. What's going to be coming up here tonight?
So this was a report based on the meeting that we had at K-State that involved the Student Governing Association and the K-State administration just focusing on some of our rental housing issues between tenants and landlords. We had a good turnout for that, a good representation of both the student and faculty staff folks that rent property in Manhattan as well as the landlords. And there was some survey work done by the university. And so it's really just to kind of report back to the commission on findings. And, you know, the commission has talked about our current registration ordinance that's required, and there'll be a little bit of update relative to some of those statistics and whether or not there's any improvements that the commission would like to make to the existing ordinance and the registration process, and whether they're more educational or whether it wants to make it more restrictive. There's certainly some folks in the community that have advocated for that as well. So this is just a discussion item, but it is to kind of see where, if there are other changes that this commission or a future commission might want to make.
Yeah, there were, I think, three commissioners who went to this meeting, and Dennis Marstall and the city staff did a good job, as well as the SGA at KSU, to set this thing up, did surveys. And for me, there was a couple of takeaways. Out of the, I think we counted 74 attendants at the beginning, and probably about 12 of those were from the city. A few were from the SGA. And then by the time we got done, I think the total was 38, still with most of the 12 or so from the city and a few from SGA. So the turnout wasn't what you might expect. I had expected some of the folks who have come before the commission before to show up. I didn't see any of them. When we talked to the SGA about this, this wasn't one of the things that was in their top five list this year. So, you know, trying to sort out some of these issues, we had a panel that I thought did a great job in representing some of the issues. So one of the things that kind of stood out was the information. So a couple of that aspects of that were that when people come into town, they don't see the same things on the expected websites that they're used to in other areas. In other words, if you're trying to find rental housing in Google Manhattan, it doesn't show up like it might in, let's say, around the University of Alabama, for example. by the same token, trying to sort out some of the housing rules, excuse me, or finding it on the city website didn't seem to be one of the things that they were doing. So I think we had 70% who said they had difficulty kind of navigating and finding out things about the rental program. The other thing they had difficulty understanding or finding was that the city code office does do inspections on request. So hardly anybody knew that. So we've got a real information gap. And I would just, the other one is the support that the Kansas State University off-campus housing office is able to do. I mean, I think that is still staffed with a graduate student. So we've talked through that several times. And so there's many things we can do. I mean, we just have to get the information out there, particularly to the young people and their parents who make the decision on where they're going to live sometimes before enrollment. So just having a booth at enrollment's not the complete answer. And then I know over time that Kansas State University wishes to have freshmen live on campus, which would be, I think, a help in this whole area, because once they become a sophomore, they would have already talked to friends about where's a good place to rent and what are some of the issues you had and so on. So they'd become a little bit more experienced with kind of how to navigate all that space. So interesting discussion. We've had this for a long time, trying to sort out rental and inspections and all that. So it'll be an interesting discussion tonight.
Well, will there be a possibility of, you know, you mentioned people don't always find that information online. Would it be an opportunity maybe to require that whenever they sign the lease, have a piece of paper that they must have a city ordinance stating, hey, this is available to you, just so you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's one of the points of discussion we've had several times, is that you ought to have a couple of things on there. You ought to have all the information about the landlord. You ought to have all the information about the code office. And you ought to have the Kansas State Landlord-Tenant Act. so that there's at least the information available that folks can have so they know what their recourses are.
Now, I would think this is a big concern here for the city because a lot of these students could potentially become future Manhattan right. residents, you know, beyond college. They want to stay here. You want to keep that talent here. And, boy, if they're getting a bum rap here from the landlords, then you want to get ahead of that real quick.
Yeah, I would just say that the number of complaints is relatively small. Hmm. So, and the landlords also have another side of the story. You know,
sure.
I mean, just like anytime you have a fairly large transit population like we do, both from Kansas State University and from Fort Riley, the turnover becomes an issue. You know, if you can have a renter for 10 years, you know what that renter's doing and you have a relationship. If you have somebody in there for a year and then arguably maybe have too many people in the same house with a lack of one responsible and so on, I mean, a lot of things don't turn out quite the way they're expected. So that's why we're trying to balance all of this.
Absolutely. Yeah, good point. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back more in focus here on News Radio KMAN. Stay tuned.